97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hello and welcome into this week's podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Tony Colombo here in studio with producer Chad Ellis, also joined, of course, by my partner, Bo Matthews. Bo, you there?
This is exclusive, man.
This is exclusive. It's a podcast and it's exclusive. And so we call it the podcast exclusive. And as we mentioned on the show this week, joining us for this podcast exclusive is our good friend, the professional fisherman, Mike Marfell. Mike, great to talk with you. How's it going?
Awesome. Fresh cup of Black Rifle coffee. I'm doing some front porch and Fenton, so it's good.
There you go.
Cha-ching.
So definitely want to talk about you know your latest experiences on the water, what you've been up to in the last few weeks since we talked to you last. But I want to give you a chance to promote something really cool. If you want to see Mike and a couple other really good fishermen, just really get into it and talk about being on the water and talk about fishing and what works and what doesn't work and what to look for and all that stuff. You did a really cool, what was at the time a live stream, but now is just a YouTube.
It's out there forever link. In the YouTubes.
Exactly, yeah. That people can go check out. So tell people what you did and where they can find it.
Well, it's two good friends of mine, Backyard Bassin and 10 Horse Monty. They each have their own YouTube channels down in southeast Missouri. And on Monday nights, they get together at Backyard Bassin's house, and they do a live stream. And they've been doing that for a few months now, I believe, and been wanting to have me as a guest, but it's just, you know, never worked out. And we just talk fishing. And like I told you, it went like 2 hours. What's beautiful about it is people are live commenting and asking questions. And, the loyal subscribers that they have kind of steer the ship about what we talk about, which is really cool. They do it every Monday night, and they have been. You can go back and find old ones, and you can find it on Facebook on either Backyard Bassin or 10 Horse Monty, or even on my personal page. I posted it on my personal page, just under my name. And you can go back and listen to all the old ones. And it's you're always asking me what little lakes here in Southern Illinois or Southern Missouri.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys fish down in Southern Illinois. They fished all the lakes at Pyramid, which I think there's 45 or 50 lakes at the Pyramid, the old strip mines down in Southern Illinois. And, you know, guys can ask questions to Gabe or Greg, you know, hey, I was fishing Lake X or Mallard. They got all kinds of weird names on these little lakes down there. And it's just cool. I mean, the people that are tuning into Three Hillbillies Talking About Fishing on a Monday night live are hardcore.
You know,
they're there for info.
Oh yeah.
So it's like one big family, you know. Asleep at the Reel was one guy's handle. I love that, right? play on the old Texas band, Asleep at the Wheel.
Oh yeah.
It's just a great group of dudes that get on there, and you know, it's funny because we get on there, just people. When I got on there, it was just people perched in the comment section waiting for us to start. You know, they're anxious, ready to go, you know, so it's a great time. And if you've got questions about, you know, I'm hopefully going to be a regular guest, like maybe once a month or something. They had a lot of positive feedback, I guess, because I ramble about fishing pretty well. So
no, not you, not
you're a
you.
Oh,
yeah.
You're a superstar.
Tony, pull my string. Pull my string.
Hey, Tony, I've got it.
Go ahead, Bob.
I've got an idea. Okay, so the 10 Horse Monty on YouTube has 1,630,000 subscribers. No, 1,630 subscribers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, 213 videos, a lot of great content out there. Do you remember when I filled in for the Glover Show with you and St. John the Philosopher was there, and we saw that he was at about 800 YouTube subscribers.
Yeah.
I think we need to do that for the 10 Horse Monty.
Yeah.
So people listening right now need to go to YouTube and bump it up, because, you know, how often are you somebody saying, hey, do this, you know, we're telling you to call this company or do really do it.
That was fun. He was getting close to 1,000 subscribers, and he was talking about how cool it would be to get that milestone. And so we just said, let's do it right now. And the great listeners of the show went and subscribed, and within 10 minutes he was back. He was up over 1,000 subscribers for the first time. We should have 10 horse.
I was
on
one of those,
Bo.
I was one of those.
There you go.
Oh, were you?
I was listening
so
to
it
you
works.
Guys. I was one of those. Yeah, and then I got lucky. Tony had me on the New Year's Eve show, and I got a meet gate, so it was even better.
There you go.
So
Mike, what are some of the questions that people ask the most when you're doing something like that? Is there like a common theme that, you know, even avid bass fishermen are, you know, still have, you know, the same questions? What is that?
Well, one of the questions that I a lot of it's these guys fish tournaments. So whether it's as big as what I do or their local 15 boat tournament on Wednesday night at their subdivision lake.
Right.
How do you practice for tournaments? What's your percentage of casting versus idling with your electronics? How do you approach a tournament? You know, and that was some of the subjects we got into on Monday. Another one I always get is, which electronics do you like better? You know, because people are getting ready to drop $3,000 on an electronics unit, and they want to know, you know, and it's the Ford Chevy thing. It's what you like. It's, they're all good.
Mm.
You know, like today's modern cars, they're all good. Just what you like. I mean,
yeah.
Hold on. What's 20,000? What do you say? Dropping 20,000 on what?
No, 3,000.
3,000. Well,
okay. On what?
I got four of them on my boat, so I've spent a couple dollars on them. But yeah, the GPS fish finder locator, whatever you want to call them,
the electronics. Yeah, the sonar.
Yeah, the
sonar, the fish finder, the depth finder, the electronics on the boat. Yeah,
that's a lot of dang money.
Yeah, well, there's guys that are. That's what we were talking about. There's an article recently by a longtime pro that says this is what's ruining fishing, because back in the day you had to spend the time.
You know what? That's a great. Okay,
good.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was just going to ask you this, Mike. Mike Marfell, right now, if you could clone yourself. We'd all be in trouble. But
yeah.
if you could clone yourself and you versus you in a tournament one on one, and Mike one gets electronics and Mike two doesn't, is there any chance Mike two wins that tournament? Yeah.
They're very important at finding fish, but if Mike two's on a lake he already knows, Mike one's in trouble.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if I go shallow and put a jig in my hand, it's, you know, I can, and we're doing a five fish tournament, I can still catch five biggins.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're at a new lake that nobody's ever been to, then that electronics and that mapping helps you go find those pinch points that you wouldn't otherwise had to spend years trying to find. Does that make sense?
Like, makes total sense.
So you got to throw in the other aspect of Mike one and Mike two on a lake neither one have fished on before.
Well, then Mike one that doesn't have the electronics is going to be in trouble, but he's still got a fighter. He's got a puncher's chance.
Right.
You know,
right.
I'm going to use what I used to use back in the '80s before when the electronics were not that great. And that's use my eyes and look up on the bank and try to figure out what
exactly
contours come into the water. I'm going to go to visible cover, lay downs, docks.
Right.
I'm not going to be fishing in the middle where it looks like my boat's broke down, like Mike
and that is,
electronics is going to do.
That is what I like about the way you help people fish. You know, the shady part of the shore, the north side or the south side. You've offered so many great fishing tips, and so we can't thank you enough.
Yeah, electronics are electronics are great, but you can't catch a fish if you don't have your hook in the water. You know what I mean? Like
you can drive
around looking all you want, but you're not going to catch anything. So if you're in a tournament, you got to find that balance of using the electronics to your benefit, but don't waste too much time trying to find the perfect spot, right?
Right, right. Exactly. And like I said in Monday night's live stream, not a bass has ever been caught at 74 miles an hour. So if you're running 50 miles up the lake at 74 miles an hour, that's time that you're not going to catch a fish. So,
and you know what? There's no difference.
Sure, where you're going, you know, it has fish.
Yeah.
And there's no difference between game cams with, you know, Tony Hunter 1 and Tony Hunter 2.
Yeah.
Tony Hunter 1's got game cams out in the field. Who's going to have the advantage?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Bo. Yeah. I make those parallels to deer hunting and bass fishing. When I use the term pinch point, if Tony's a deer hunter, he knows right what that means. You know, it's the highways they use during seasonal travel. We talked about it Monday night. You can map. So, Tony, say we came down, I came down with my Hummingbird electronics to your cove, and we went through it, and I did the mapping where I'm actually mapping the bottom. It's recording, and I'm mapping the bottom and making tight one-foot contours. We're also going to be able to get hardness of bottom off of that. And then you can see these veins of hardness, and that's what those fish are going to use to travel from the main lake to the spawning flats and then back out in the summertime. So if you have those hard points, you know the highway that they travel.
Yeah.
So now it's finding about what point on the highway they are between point A and point B.
I'll never forget I'll never forget like the most eye-opening moment when it with electronics and that exactly what you're talking about, mapping the bottom of the lake. Years ago, a buddy of mine and I were at Spanish Lake, and a lake that I have fished since I was a little kid and have had great success, caught big fish. And man, this was probably going back almost 10 years now. And we had his little old, rickety old bass boat in there, and an old you know, depth finder, fish finder, whatever. And we found he found a spot in the middle of the lake, like you just mentioned. Looked like you're broke down in the middle of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
He found a spot in the middle of the lake that I would have never ever stopped and fished at, you know, any other time for sure. And
right.
found the topography that he was looking for, and started started catching fish just in what looked like a spacious, empty middle part of the lake, and all of a sudden he's catching fish out there in the middle and you know, just absolutely
they've never been
mind.
Fished for they've yeah. never been fished for. That's most likely the case.
Yep.
There was an Elite Series event, which is the highest level of bass fishing, the true professionals, not professionals like myself. There's a Tim Horton years ago won a tournament and was back on the final championship day. So they fished 4-day formats. He was back and ordering a pizza sitting on the dock because Lake Champlain can get so rough, you may not make it back. But he caught all of his fish off of one like Volkswagen sized boulder that he had found on his electronics.
Wow.
Every fish that he caught in those 4 days came off of that boulder that was just out in the middle.
Wow. There's
one big boulder and a big rock flat, and that's where every smallmouth and largemouth he caught came off of that one rock.
That's incredible.
So,
incredible.
I mean, that's what this article was about. Like, the old timers that used to use a paper map and maybe just a depth finder, you know, a flasher that told you how deep it was.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to triangulate that dock with that big tree, and then if I line up that smokestack and I can see all three, and then I know I'm in the right spot. That those guys that put in that kind of work are pissed that a guy with enough money can just walk up and have those spots instantly. And when you map that bottom and it gets sent to Lowrance or Hummingbird, well, then they release it to the world. You know, it goes through their software, so they have the rights to it, so then they put it in their mapping cards. So if you went and Bo did his private lake and with a Lowrance unit, well, then it would eventually, everybody would have the not that they could come to Bo's, but you know what I'm saying?
Nobody can come to it. Nobody can come to it. You better bite your tongue, Tony. Bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Haven't even been invited.
That's a good point. Nobody's ever, and smart, and very, very smart. That fish finder would show that there are no fish in that lake anymore because his neighbor stole them all. But that's a different story.
Yeah, that's been big mystery.
That's been well covered here on Second Amendment Radio. Mike, before we let you go, I got to ask you a couple questions about fishing, especially this time of year. What is this where are we at as far as fishing season is concerned? Is this a great time to be on the water?
Getting ready to transition into the fall where they move back. There's going to be, when those nights start getting a little cooler, when the nights get cooler than the surface temperature of the water, and the water actually starts to cool off at night, and stay, you know, keep steadily declining, those fish are going to start to move. And the days get shorter, fish are going to start moving back to feed up for the winter. But right now, you can still catch them deep in the summertime type pattern. My friend, and he's going to kill me, he's discovered the whopper plopper crawl, where you make it go plop.
Oh. Plop.
I'll send you the pictures today, Tony. He caught like 6 over 5 pounds doing that. today out of a kayak.
Just an extreme slow roll on the whopper plopper? Is that what you're saying?
The whopper plopper, where that plopper just goes plop, plop. Just one plop at a time. Not the plop, 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 plop.
Got that,
Bo? Plop at a time.
Got that, Bo?
Plop.
Not plop, plop,
I'm
plop,
trying
plop
to understand.
Not plop, 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 plop. More like plop, plop. Got it?
That's it. You got,
I got it,
Tony. That's just it.
I got it committed to memory.
But I think what happened, Tony, is when that thing was all the rage, everybody was burning it, which means reeling it as fast, damn near as fast as you can.
I retrieve it like a buzz bait.
Fish are like, oh, that thing bites. I'm not grabbing that thing.
Yeah.
And then
Pop. I fish a whopper plopper just like I fish a buzz bait. Like,
yeah, that's what most people do.
Yeah.
And
I've had great success with it.
You could cast it a mile. You could cast it a mile. You could fish it fast so you could cover a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
In a tournament, that makes perfect sense. Guys that win tournaments on whopper ploppers don't put it down. They just throw it all day long. And you're going to get five decent bites. Well,
so you're almost using it like a popper then, like a hula popper almost. Like you're fishing it that style than a buzz
bait. Yeah, like a chug bait. Like a chug bug or something. Yeah, but it's just real nice and slow. Blop, blop, blop. And then, it, you know, I don't know what it is. It's the sound that it makes. I remember when I was in Texas with a guide fishing a popping bait, a popar,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, "You should buy this Yellow Magic." At the time, it was the new Japanese popping bait, and I'm like, "Yeah, they're $15." And this was like 10 years ago. I was like, "Yeah, way to sell your baits. You know, this thing pops just the same." But I humored him and bought him, and I'd fish by myself before the guide for 2 days, hadn't caught crap on that thing, and then I bought that Yellow Magic, and the first time I popped it, and it went boom. Like a totally different sound.
No kidding.
And they just ate the crap out of it.
Wow.
He was right. He was not. It was something new, and it worked. And the whopper plopper is not new, but changing your retrieve, and that goes for everything.
I've never considered doing that with the whopper plopper. I've never even
considered slowing it down,
but not to that extreme. You know what I mean?
Right. Right, right, right. Most people won't. But what Dave, he's fishing it on a grass line too, which gives them time to come up and find it, I think, is part of that key. Another way to fish that, Tony, is just to reel it steady and then twist that rod real hard down and make it kind of submarine for a second and spit a bunch of water and come back up.
Uh-huh.
And then right when you do that, just stop it. You know, because sometimes if a fish is following that bait and you stop it, well, they just run into it. They can't hit the brakes fast enough, so then they just bite it.
How many whopper ploppers you got in the tackle box, Bo?
Zero. We're going with zero on this.
When we get done with this COVID BS and I get to come in the studio, I'll bring you a whopper plopper.
Yeah, I think you brought me. I think I got my first ever whopper plopper from you too, Mike, a few years ago.
Yeah, I brought you the big one and the little one. Yeah. One for Lake of the Ozarks and one for Farm Pond. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The little one.
The only color you need is black.
The little one has caught a lot of fish. The big one has not had as much success.
Well, you just got to keep throwing it.
Yeah, I know.
The big ones like the big bait, for sure.
No, that's great. So so still a great time to be on the water. Is there any changes that people should be keeping their eyes open for as far as, changing up their
just
style?
Just the weather. When the days start getting shorter, man, September, usually after Labor Day, midway through September, you'll know if you're at Lake of the Ozarks and all the birds start moving towards the middle and the backs of the coves, that's where the fish are going.
Chad can't put down his whopper plopper. He's been messing with the thing all day here in the studio.
Good thing I'm remote.
Yeah. Well, he has the luxury of having that whopper plopper. We don't keep it on us, Tony.
It's a great point.
Is his bigger, by the way?
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that.
Come on.
Hey, before...
I can see Chad smiling through the phone.
And blushing.
Oh, wow.
Before we let you go, Mike, one more time, you can get a whole lot of knowledge and see three guys that really know what they're talking about, discussing fishing. And even though you missed your chance to watch it live, and so you can't get your question answered, there's lots of people asking great questions. You can get a whole lot of knowledge by going back and watching the live stream that Mike was on earlier this week. And where can people find that on YouTube again, Mike?
You can find it on YouTube at Backyard Bassin or 10 Horse Monty, or look either one of those boys up on Facebook. They have it posted there, or my personal, Mike Marfell, my first Facebook page. And let's do what Bo said. Let's push the 10 horse money to like 2,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we'll get him on. If he's
designing a t-shirt, by the way, it's going to be really cool. The 10 horse money t-shirt. When he gets one, I'll make sure that Tony Colombo gets one.
Well, I appreciate that. And if he's game, we will get him on. We will get him on the show one day with
you.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Maybe have him and Backyard Bassin on together or something.
That would be a lot of fun.
Either way, you know. Yeah, they're great dudes. And not just the one from this week. You can go back and listen to ones. They've got guys from up all the way up at like La Crosse, Wisconsin, some smallmouth guys that come on and talk. Because there's a couple guys that they know down in southeast Missouri that every summer they leave their home and go up there and live and guide all summer long and then come back down in the wintertime when the water gets hard.
Well, make sure you guys go check that out. Make sure you check out 10 Horse Monty, Backyard Bassin, both channels on YouTube, and watch the really long, really informative live stream that Mike was a part of this week
And my skills of sipping bourbon and spitting tobacco at the same time live on YouTube. Yeah,
there you
it's
go.
Good.
I like it.
Mike multi-talented.
Mike Marfell, thank you so much for your time, my friend. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet.
Take care, Bo. See you later, Chad.
Yeah, buddy. One. See ya.
See you guys. See you soon. All right, that is going to do it for another edition of the podcast exclusive for producer Chad Ellis and my partner, Bo Matthews, both of whom need to go out and buy some Whopper Ploppers ASAP and so we can all get on the water and we can try this new plop.
I'm going to buy the biggest one I can,
technique.
Chad. Just saying.
We'll see you back here next week on the podcast exclusive of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Get more at 971talk.com.